And we'll read verse 20 through 32. Sharon. Get my watch. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 20 through 32. And I said unto you, you're coming to the mountain of, under the mountain of the Lord of the Amorites. See, when your eyesight goes, it makes it a little more difficult, doesn't it? And I said unto you, you are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord your God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search out the land, and bring us word again, by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well. And I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe, and they turned and went up into the mountain, and came unto the valley of Eshcol, and searched it out, and they took of the fruit of the land in their hands, and they brought it down unto us, and brought us word again, and said, it is a good land, which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and ye murmured in your tents, and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt, to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites, to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying, the people is greater and taller than we, the cities are great and the walls and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the son of the Anakims there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth up before you, he will fight for you according to all that he did before you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bear thee, as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that he went, until he came into this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God. The account there, here given to us, as God was delivering them the promised land. They go in and they look at it, they send out the spies, sure enough. It is everything that God said it was. God had someone there to dress the land, to keep the land. The land was not a wild land. God had it all dressed for them, all ready for them. All they had to do was go in and obey the Lord, and the Lord was going to drive out the people that had been tending the land for God's people, basically. The Lord said, it's not going to be a wild land. It's all taken care of. It's all ready for you. Move in condition. All you have to do is go possess it. They got over there. They saw the blessings of God. And then they did what we so often do. They looked at it through the eyes of man. And they said, the people there, they're huge people, will never be able to do it. The commentary on the news television, you hear the news, and then the guy gives you the commentary. And he tells you what you're supposed to think and what you're supposed to believe and where you're supposed to be at. And they came back and they did the commentary, and then their hearts had fallen. Would to God that we would never cause another Christian brother's heart to sink, to fall. We would always want to encourage one another to serve the Lord. So they didn't go in. Joshua never forgot. There was a mountain for him. His name was on it. His God had given it to him. and he was going to go there someday. It wasn't right now. The children of Israel, this generation, were to pass away because they didn't have the faith to go into the land. Moses was to go and view the land, but never enter in, because instead of speaking to the rock the second time, he in himself struck the rock and said, "Must I get water out of this rock for you?" And he wasn't able to go in, but it was a great land. Joshua and Caleb never forgot that, and God gave them that mountain. We sing that song, "I want that mountain, it belongs to me." Joshua never forgot it. Some 40 years later, he finally gets to go in. Following along in your lesson, the faith of Israel in lesson 10, the Lord has provided for us examples of individuals who live by faith. We're going through Hebrews chapter 11, and we've looked at many individuals who by faith have obeyed the Lord and done great works. And now he brings us to the record of a group of people who collectively express faith in God. Notice what the Bible says in Hebrews 11, 29 and 30. Hebrews 11, 29 and 30. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. We see these two events in Hebrews 11, 29, Hebrews 11, 30. We see these events some 40 years apart. We see as they come out of Egypt, and then finally as they go into the promised land. Joshua remembered the promise that his God had given him. Joshua and Caleb, of course, had come back with a faithful report. Yes, indeed, the land is great, as God said. Let's go possess it. But the other 10 had given an evil report. And although they had said it was a great land, they said, "We cannot take it." 40 years between these events, following along in your lesson, as we make special note of the word "they." The Bible says they passed through the Red Sea in verse 29. We understand that no doubt there were people of unbelief involved in this group also. They were alongside people of belief. Those who did not exercise faith went through with people of faith. The people who traveled with people of faith are blessed with those people. As we follow our pastor, we are blessed because of him. Think of Paul in the ship that night, as the ship is being totally destroyed, and they get out the lifeboats and they say, "We're leaving." And Paul said, "Well, I've got good news for you. Nobody's going to be hurt. The Lord gave me word tonight that I've got to stand before Caesar. We're not going to end here. I've got a place I've got to be." And as he explained to them there in Acts 27:24, as he explained to them, "But nobody can leave. We have to stay here as one group." Leaders reach out, cut the ropes, lifeboats float away, and we're going to stay here together. Because they were with Paul, they didn't die that night. We think of Moses. We think of Moses and Aaron in Numbers 16:48. Moses and Aaron stood that day between the dead and the living. As their murmurings had displeased God again, and God had sent a plague, and the plague has started, and it has started to go throughout the camp. And Moses said to Aaron, "Get out and sacrifice. We have got to make an atonement for this people." And he goes out and sacrifices, and Aaron goes out among the people, and God stops the plague. Only 14,000 people die because of the murmurings, because of their complainings. But Moses stood between the dead and the living. It is our Lord's intent here for us to witness the faith of Israel, not only passing through the Red Sea. As we look at Israel, we look at a group of people. And that group of people changed throughout the years. Of course, the people that came out of Egypt were not able to go into the Promised Land because they didn't have the faith. But that group of people, Israel, under the leadership, obviously, of Joshua, when they finally go in, they have the faith to obey. They have the faith to do it. They have the testimony of their fathers that have died before. They've been told the stories of what happened. I mean, we as dads, we tell our children, man, you should have seen it, and God did this, and but we didn't do this. And the children were told about it. The children obeyed and went into the land. In Exodus 14, verse 3, as they're coming out, we see that they were trapped. Exodus 14:3. They're trapped. Egypt looks at them and says, they're trapped. They can't get away from us. We're going to go get them. And I'm sure some of the Jews thought, we're trapped. We can't get away from them. Verse 3. Verse 10, they were sore afraid. They were sore afraid. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We left Egypt. We were slaves there. We weren't soldiers. We don't have all the equipment of a soldier. We're not a standing army to stand against these people. We're just people. That's all we are. But there are people with faith. Then verse 13, Exodus 14:13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. What a blessed truth. You shall see them no more forever. What a truth. Then in verse 25, as the Egyptians are realizing, man, these people have a God that is fighting for them. And as they finally realize it, and it's too late, and it's to their demise, that's Exodus chapter 14, as they're leaving. Also surrounding the walls of Jericho in Joshua chapter 6, as we'll view some verses here in a minute, God placed Jericho right in their paths so he could prove himself to them. Jericho, right there, as they come in, Lord, here it is, we're going into the land, we're going to get the possession that you gave us. And they come in, and here's Jericho. Here's these mighty walls that tower to heaven. What are we going to do now? The Lord is looking to bless you and I. The Lord was looking to bless these people. All they needed to do was exercise faith. That's all they had to do. You and I, the Lord has a plan for our lives. And the Lord says, exercise faith, take this step, and I've got something that you would not believe. That you would not believe. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to do what? To show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Perfect. Sinless perfection? No, not from us. Perfect. A wholeheartedness. A single-mindedness. God is looking to pour his blessing out on your life as he did here on the children of Israel. Turn in your lessons. As we consider faith, and we're here in Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter of the hall of faith, as we referred to it, what is this faith? What is it to us? How should it be applied in our lives? We see the obedience of faith, the discipline of faith, and the patience of faith. The obedience of faith. Faith obeys absolutely. We told our children as we're raising them up, it's not just doing what I said, but it's doing it with what? With the right attitude. That's obedience. Obedience isn't, I'm going. I'm not going on the inside. That's not obedience. Years ago, I don't know what you're allowed to do in society today. Years ago, that got a paddle on your bum. I don't know if that's still legal today. But that's what it got you, those stomping feet. Were you going? Yeah. Were you going in your heart? No. I'm going to make it tender to where God can use you someday. That's the importance of that. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Parents, don't lose heart. It's a hard job. You guys have a very hard job, you parents. Don't let up in it. It's worth it. It is worth it, parents. It's worth it. We married off our fourth and final one last week. Appreciate your prayers as we were traveling to Florida. So far, our children appear to have a heart for God, and it doesn't appear that their hearts are going to turn away from God, and we're very thankful. We have 9 grandchildren, and they're being taught in the ways of the Lord. The Lord is good. We apply His word in our lives and in our children's lives. We'll see the blessing of faith. We need to walk by faith. We do not seek our own way. We seek God's way. Faith obeys God to the very smallest detail. Faith obeys God. As I've said before, we're very blessed to have God's instruction booklet to us, God's word to us. We hold the canon of Scripture. Many that went on before us, they didn't have the benefit of having this. People sometimes say, well, what's God's will? God doesn't show me His will. Yeah, because you don't read the instruction booklet. The instruction booklet right here tells you. God has given this book to you and I for instruction, so we know what to do, so we know where to go, so we know what path to follow. God's instructions, Joshua chapter 6. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 6 and verse 3. And we'll read verses 3 through 8. And you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and shall go about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And the 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when ye hear the sounds of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let the 7 priests bear the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord, before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horn passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. God given that had given them a plan. The Lord had told Joshua, I want you to instruct the people. Here's the plan. The people were instructed to march around the city once each day for 6 days, and on the 7th day, they were going to march around the city 7 times. If we truly have faith in the Lord, we are going to attempt to do exactly what God tells us to do. Then secondly, we look at the discipline of faith. The discipline of faith. The faith life, as the author refers to this, the faith life, the life that you and I live as we walk by faith, he refers to as the faith life, is a disciplined life. The fear of God brings us to the place of yielding to him. In Joshua 6, and we'll continue reading verses 9 through 16. And the men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the re-rewarder came after the ark. The priests going on and blowing with the trumpets, and Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day that I bid you shout. Then shall you shout." So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose up early in the morning. The priest took the ark of the Lord, and seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the re-rewarder came after the ark of the Lord, the priest going on and blowing with trumpets. And the second day, they compassed the city once and returned to the camp, so they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. God had given a plan. Joshua had instructed the people. This is what God wants us to do. There we see the plan laid out. Remember, the people marching around a city had to remain completely quiet. That would have been hard for me. Seems like quietness is I don't know, it just seems like there's a lot of talking in my life. I don't know. Some people are more quiet. Others aren't more quiet. But these people were given instructions. You're going to be quiet. You're going to be quiet. We're going to march around the city, and then you're going to shout. Not one of them could offer his advice. Man, how many people have good advice? I've got good advice. If you need some, ask me. Usually a lot of people have advice when you're doing something. You're at work and you're doing something, and somebody back there, "Hey, I know what you should do." "Oh, thank you for that. You think, I went to school for this. I've been doing this for 25 years, but there's somebody who's never done it, but they can always give instructions, can't they?" And then you try to be kind and thank them for the instructions and go on. But there was none of this, no given opinions, no given what they thought. Once they started to do what God said, there was no discussion and no debate. Their fathers were the greatest generation of murmurers that ever lived. And everyone knew what became of them. Their carcasses were buried in the wilderness. They didn't come across because they all had a better idea than submitting to God's way. God's way is always the best way. God has a plan. And if we want to see that plan fulfilled in our lives, we need to obey the Lord. We need to obey the Lord. God has given us a leader to follow. God gave these people a leader to follow, Joshua. God has given us a leader to follow. Pastor Cole, I hope you pray for your pastor. I know your pastor prays for you. I hope you hold him up in prayer. I hope when you think about him that you pray for him. As our pastor leads us and gives us direction, what do? As he gives us direction, we do it. We don't say, "Well, you know, Pastor, I've got a better idea than you've got," or whatever. No, we do what our pastor says. We do what our leader says. Our leader gives us a plan. If we have faith in God, our faith must be disciplined. Listen, we need to listen to God, obey the Lord, and wait upon him. It's hard to be silent because we all have our opinions. These people were to be obedient to every detail. And God said, "You are not even going to speak until you have learned to be silent and listen." There is probably nothing that any of us need more desperately than to learn to be quiet and wait on the Lord. to be quiet before Him. As we go to prayer, what is our tendency? We start talking. Sometimes prayer is, be quiet for a minute and let the Lord talk to us, isn't it? Isn't it? It certainly is. Psalm 27:14, the Bible says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Psalm 27:14. There's a time for shouting and there's a time for silence. The silence came before the shouting. Here, this group of people were exercising their faith as they obeyed God's command and as they obeyed God's man. The patience of faith. Joshua 6:20. What a reward. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass. When the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. March around the city. What a plan. We're going to knock those walls down by marching around the city and being quiet, not talking. 12 times. We've done this 12 times. I don't see the walls cracking. I don't see anything going on. 12 times. We don't see them stopping there, do we? They marched around that 13 times. They obeyed the Lord. They obeyed God's leadership. And God took the walls down. God took the walls down. And they took the city. And this is what an example of what God was going to do for them throughout the rest of the land as they came in to possess the possession that God had given them. I do not imagine that it was extremely difficult on the first day or even the second day or the third day, but eventually it might have been difficult for the Israelites just to march around and wait, march around and wait, march around and wait. Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself. Rest on the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself. Psalm 37:7. Is there a Jericho for us to conquer? When we get frustrated and grow impatient, we begin to come up with our own plans. If we want God to prove Himself, then we must be patient and wait on Him. The Lord knows the exact moment when He gets the greatest glory and when we give Him the greatest praise. Psalm 29:2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 29:2. God is always on time. If we think He is late, then we're early. We need to understand the patience of faith. We need to understand faith. We wait on God. We obey God. We don't, as it's so easy for us to do, put these hands into action ahead of the Lord's timing. It is not right for God's children to grow impatient. Hebrews 11, that great chapter on faith. A historical record for us? Yes. But bigger than that, it's an example that God has given to us. Romans 15:4. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. These were written for us. We need to take these truths and let God use them. And may God use us to be a blessing to others, to build up one another in the faith, not to discourage it as the children of Israel had done and cause them not to possess a land. Joshua said, I want that mountain. It belongs to me. God's given it to me. And he never lost that vision. Don't ever lose the vision that God has a plan for you. And you don't have to be sinlessly perfect. We look at these men in Scripture, we can tell you their sin. Moses, can you tell me his sin? Yeah, you can. And we can go through the list. Can you tell me their sin? Yeah, you can. Why? Because they were sinners. But they had a heart for God. Moses, as we had seen last week or the week before when I was here, Moses understood God's heart. Was he a sinner? Yeah, he was. But he had a heart for God. And we don't have to be sinlessly perfect. We don't have to be sinlessly perfect to walk in the Spirit. We don't have to be sinlessly perfect to be filled with the Spirit. We don't have to be sinlessly perfect to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. We don't have to be sinlessly perfect. What we have to have is a heart that is willing to obey God in whatever He says. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for your love for us. Lord, we're thankful that when we were yet in our sin, you died for us. You made salvation possible for us. Lord, help us to realize the truth that we're not perfect. But we can still walk with you. We can still be used of you. As we saw Moses stand between the dead and the living, as the plague had gone out and was spreading, and Aaron came and made the sacrifice. Lord, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the power that we can have in our life. Lord, might your name be glorified as we obey you through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very... Whoops. I always forget the questions. What time is it?